Let's give them something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay, okay. You ain't do nothing but running out.
Oh, dude, that's good for and where all the sound things are right.
Like so I'm far.
Sure. Yeah.
So anybody's listening, please comment.
Tell us if there's an echo. You know the one mistake we make, Jeremy, is we all of our mics. Have you done podcasts before?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so where you sit in the room and that. So we use the Rode podcast. Have you done podcasts before? I just watched one with you on it. we use a Rode mixer, and so all of our sound goes into that mixer board and then into Jamie's computer. But one of the things is you have to do, if you notice, like on my little banner down there, I have to mute my computer mic. And it's the one thing that we forget the most. Either Jamie forgets to mute his or I forget to mute mine. And then it takes over as the sound source. And so I'm speaking and I'll be going through his mic on the other side of the room. And
sounds like he's talking to a tin can.
Oh
or
my
something.
God, it's the worst. Anyway, so this seems like we've got all that shit figured out for today. Anyway, hey, welcome. Jeremy, glad to have you on, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I knew that you had been around a long time in terms of your affiliate. Well, in terms of CrossFit, I know that because I saw you at the 2008 CrossFit Games. But but as a affiliate owner, I wasn't quite sure. And I think you sealed the deal on the Get With The Programming podcast that your affiliate is older than ours.
Okay. Yeah. We officially, we put in our affiliate paperwork in November of 2005, and I believe we were fully approved in December of 2005. So we'll be officially 20 years old in December.
Yeah. Congratulations. Awesome. Whatever.
He's not bitter at all.
What I like about it is that we are, I believe, like when we affiliated, my sister Carrie Kepler and I started CrossFit Central together. And so, you know, I have CrossFit Central downtown now. And so, you know, however we founded Central, I have my location, she has hers. And then we're like 50th in the world. And when we found it, we were like, there was four affiliates in August of 05. I think there's maybe 10, four to 10.
Yep.
But now I think there was a listing of like, we're like number either 18 or 15 of how many remaining in the slot. Yeah. And I was just like, all right, well, we're not going to quit. We're never going to quit until we're number one. So
I said the same thing like about 2 weeks ago to someone. They go, when are you out? I go, when we're number one. Yeah. So shit, now I got to
take them out. Outlast me, buddy.
hey, Carrie, we got this interesting offer from this company that's good, a blind LLC offering us to buy our affiliate. Yep. Anyway, well, that's congratulations. It is awesome. Let me ask you. So, before you applied to become a CrossFit affiliate, were you running group fitness in Austin or I think you were down in Buda, right?
Yeah. So, well, I was in college in San Marcos down in south of Austin. And so I was doing, so it's kind of unique. My sister's, has a few years on me. And so I'm the youngest of five and my sister's the second, from the top. And so, she was a collegiate basketball player and she moved, I was still in junior high school and she moved to Austin and she was a personal trainer and, in Austin. And then when I was in college, I was running strength conditioning programs. So I got in West Texas where football is king. I ran summer strength programs. So we did, you know, the power cleans, deadlifts, snatching. We were doing a lot of power movements and sprinting and agility. And so I was coaching, learning, programming. I had a couple mentors that were from the local. They went to A&M. They introduced me to kettlebells like early on. The guy was pretty progressive in training. It's like 2002, 2003, I learned about kettlebells. And then in college, I was doing triathlons. So when I went to college, I was like, I want to do something totally different than when I was doing powerlifting and weightlifting, but I never stopped. So I always lifted weights and then I got into running and it's kind of like goes into like, I ran every day in college just to keep my mind like in order. So it was like, mental health wasn't a thing. I knew that if I didn't run, you know, I just didn't feel right. So I trained, I ran, I was doing weightlifting. I would go back to my home for the summer to run strength conditioning camps with junior high, high school kids. And then when I got done with college, I told my sister, hey, let's start boot camps. And she was like, okay, boot camps were really big back in 2004, 2005. And then that's when I got an email from Lance Cantu, who was U.S. Marine. He was in transport to go to Afghanistan and Iraq. I believe it was Iraq. That's when he got introduced to CrossFit. And that was in the summer of 2005. And so I was going into it and we were launching our boot camps. And then I was debating between a Dragon Door, kettlebell, Pavel, like certification at the time. And then when I saw CrossFit, it had powerlifting, weightlifting, kettlebells, gymnastics. You could start your own affiliate. So I was like, that was really what turned the tide for me to say, hey, this is an all-inclusive. Like, I can get all of these that I'm working in, and it kind of fits into all these different genres. Because I still work with kids doing speed and agility and strength in Austin, and we started the boot camps. And so that was really like the transition from my sister being a private training instructor, me starting boot camps, and then finding CrossFit.
So we watched you, especially with the boot camps, because you kept the boot camps going for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I think those ended up turning into other affiliates, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was kind of the process, right? How many affiliates did you earn in your region?
The other thing I listened to you talk on the Get With The Programming podcast was about the run community in Austin, Texas. And I was in Austin, Texas from 1999 until 2005. And then I left to come here. And when I was there in Austin, Texas, I was part of that run community. Mm. And Austin, what's cool is the Austin running community, they do a series of races that starts with the 1 mile and then they do 5Ks and then 10Ks, all building up to the Austin Marathon in May.
Oh, that's cool.
I ran 5 marathons while I was in Austin, Texas. I did multiple triathlons. You and I were probably...
I was going to say, cross paths at some point.
No, we were. I was probably in the... not only, we were probably in the same races together.
That's true.
Although I was always in the Clydesdale division.
Yeah, I hovered on that line. Yeah.
You remember the Clydesdale division?
Yeah.
And I used to go like, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't put myself, but I could always do score well in the Clydesdale division. But anyway, that community, that community feeling that was like, I would get every Saturday, get together with a group of people. And we'd go down to Barton Springs. We'd run the trail that's right on the Colorado River there. And that's Austin, Lake Austin. Yeah. And you could literally do, if you want to do a 3 miler, you just go across this one bridge. If you want to do 5 miler, you're going across another bridge. You want to do a 13 miler, you go across a different bridge, like further down the trail. And it all ran along. It was beautiful. And then we'd go to breakfast right there in Austin.
That's cool.
Swim in Barton Springs and then go to breakfast. But the feeling was really tremendous. And I do remember there was a running, and I can't remember their names right now. You may remember, but there was a running shoe store that would come out and put on Saturdays, and I think Sundays too, they'd come and they put these all the coolers full of water and Gatorade underneath the bridge.
Yeah,
at this one main bridge near downtown, and the runners would gather like you. That was your pit stop, and I think they did it at two different locations for free. They
was just like on a weekend.
Yeah, Runtex.
Runtex.
Yep, because they just sold it. Yeah, it drove a ton of business to their stores.
Yeah.
And all they did was put the free coolers out.
That's a trip.
But that community environment is what spurred me and what motivated me. And I had that, constantly had that vision in my mind with Diablo CrossFit. Mm. Was that community that you described. It was really amazing.
Yeah, that's a really awesome. So Paul Carosa is the founder of Runtex.
Yes.
So my wife... was a shoe specialty shoe salesman, if you will, saleswoman, if you will. So she sold Adidas and sold into Runtex. And then her best friend Aaron Hood worked at the Runtex on Lake Austin Boulevard, which is half a mile from us right here. Now it's not Runtex anymore, but she worked there. And now Aaron's been around. She works out at the gym. And then ironically enough, like the Carozza's kids now are like Olympian level UT swimmers and runners. Like they are like they his daughter, they all have gone through trials. I don't think she made it to the maybe to the Olympic, but our, his sons are track stars and swim stars at University of Texas.
I love hearing that. So, that's cool. Yeah,
really you, cool.
Yeah, you would go into their stores, Jamie, too. You go into their stores, and it just had a feel that was different than a retail store. One, you knew everybody ran that was in that freaking store. And it was just open. It was just very familiar.
Very CrossFit-esque.
Very CrossFit-esque. that whole community, and again, like I said, it helped us shape. But that Austin community is, I miss it so much. My brother's he's got a big ranch out there in Dripping Springs, and so I get down there every once in a while.
Wow, I live in Driftwood down by the Salt Lake, so we're basically neighbors. Me and your brother.
Small world getting smaller here.
Watch this. He drives by Howard Ranch.
Yeah,
right there. The Howard Ranch is my brother.
Okay.
Right there at the corner, right there in Dripping Springs, and you gotta go. God, what's that road they put a roundabout in there now that he's all pissed off about, and that's where the brewery is right there, right there on the corner. But you drive by Howard Ranch probably to get into you would drive by Howard Ranch to get into Dripping Springs, the town of Dripping Springs. They got a Home Depot down there now.
Yeah,
but Salt Lake is where my brother did his wedding reception. That whole area is freaking awesome.
Because the Katie and Bill own property out that way.
They do?
Mm-hmm. They own, they have a ranch out there. It's more out towards, I believe, Johnson City area, but they visit, I believe, Texas pretty often.
So I don't want to get way off track, but that property, he bought that property, you know, back in the early 90s as a hunting and fishing property, 300 acres he bought out there just because he went down there and had to hunt and fish. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to buy some property down there. And he got it for under $1,000 an acre down there. He's a professional football player. That property, and he made all kinds of crazy investments, bars, restaurants, everything else. But that property saved his retirement. Like that property became his retirement. Yeah. Like it's the only thing that really like held us. And he had no idea. It just, you know, like that Austin would blow up like it did.
That's wild.
Yeah. And now he's got all kinds of shit on it. It's really cool. But anyway, I love that area, man. And I love your gym, and we watched it for years. All the stuff that you do more like even recently, very recently last year. I knew that you were doing pickleball in your facility, and I may have even messaged you about it, just kind of like the dynamics behind it and how it worked. So on April 1st last year, I introduced Diablo Pickleball with just a full-blown, really cool logo for it.
Oh, we got so many people.
I got so many people, and dude, I've pissed off so many members that were pissed that it was April Fools.
Wow.
I made freaking shirts, dude. They bought the shirts. And they were excited, like, wait a minute, this isn't happening? And they were pissed. So and I did a different April Fool's this year, something related to Spartan Racing High Rocks called Diablo Spartox. And a couple people said, no, I got PTSD from pickleball, your pickleball post. I can't. That's how it goes. So you now at CrossFit Central at your main location, you have pickleball courts there, right?
We do. We have three pickleball courts. I actually converted one of them to private training space. So it lost itself real quick. Our private training business has really exploded. A unique window. As I've been in the space almost 20 years, you see the pivots, right? And I feel like when we were coming in, private training was, you know, kind of going out as this primary and then this group in this. But now I'm seeing such the trend, like the going back to the private training, small group private training. So we have probably about 70 to 80 private training clients. And we used to maybe have a dozen. But
same thing.
I'm imagining in the next 6 months that our private training business will outpace our group fitness. We'll maintain our size.
Sure.
But, you know, 250 pretty consistent CrossFit memberships. But our private training will be, you know, into the hundreds.
I love hearing this. This is this is so we do get our target for this podcast is affiliate owners, and I really like to give them this kind of information. I just went down and spoke at a affiliate gathering down in Los Angeles this last weekend, and that's one of the things that we talked about. And I watched. I stay up on all the content related to affiliates and businesses. And small group training was the one that is I noticed was really popular. And as we are further up the, I want to say the referral tree, the people that are coming in to CrossFit are less conditioned and less fit and less experienced, just less overall less experience in going into a group class of 15, 20 people, especially at Diablo and I'm sure at Central, where the people have been there a long time and they know where everything is. They know what everything is. They know how to do it. It's intimidating. In small group training, where you get a fixed time, small group of people, same coach, someone helping you guide along the way has become really popular and people are willing to pay for it. You're 100% correct. It actually makes me feel better about the kind of the risk that we took to implement a small group training program. I'm pleased to hear that you, of course, led the way on that too.
Well, it was actually the market in downtown Austin just for private training is tremendous. And I fell into it because my pickleball, I was running membership sales and I had opened four courts. And what I quickly realized that we actually needed more courts to really run a true court business. And I didn't understand the dynamics and the math of it. Every unique service like CrossFit, how many square feet you need, how many members you need, all that. And then the square footage per court didn't line up. And what we can do in revenue per private training versus pickleball is dramatic. And so we now lease, I don't run a membership model for my pickleball. I actually lease my pickleball courts to a event company that runs leagues, tournaments, and special events. And they run, pay a lease. And I don't deal with that. I just totally focus on fitness. And that's been a huge relief for me because managing racket sport was definitely not my forte. So I was like, all right, these guys love it. Let me let you guys take it and I'll stick to what I'm good at.
Right.
Were you able to get some of those pickleball people to join in on the semi-private stuff? Cause it's also kind of a tight niche community. I could see.
We have a trainer that is more focused. He's definitely a pickleballer in the racket space. And so he has taken on, clients that are in the pickleball space that come and train with him, but it's not a huge market. It's very much like, and it's not good because they need more of the lateral movement and the strengthening that they're not getting is causing the injury. But, you know, they just want to play pickleball. So it's like very, very narrow focus, just like runners just want to run, but they need to do, you know, functional
accessory work. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just like, I think over time as we grow that, that'll be the case. But, you know, our genre, you know, is for private training. I mean, it spans the spectrum and you know, it's like everyone's like, oh, you're a CrossFit gym, you're doing CrossFit private training. It's like, no, we're doing very customized, specialized work and unique to the client base to serve them. And but it's all functional. So we're doing functional movements because we don't have it's not a global gym setup. I think that's, you know, the power in the movements.
Yeah,
it is
for sure.
The other thing that's, you know, I do admire that, and I think it's something in CrossFit owners and maybe CrossFit owners that have ADD, you'll chase new stuff, but you'll sample new stuff and try new stuff. But one of the things that you did a long time ago, and that I kind of wish we did too, but we have more ADD than you, is you started the Fittest Experience competition. And one of the things I learned on the podcast with the Get With The Programming guys is how long ago you started that and you're still doing it. We had Diablo had as many as four competitions in a year, four different competitions. And it was a lot. Like each one had a different thing. One was partners, one was masters, one was, you know, average, rookies. You know, average Joe's cool and rookies. Yeah. It was, and then we had the, you know, the one that we always do, but it became very difficult and it took away from our primary core business, which was the gym business, to operate them. And finally, it became overwhelming. You have one, stuck with it.
And the freaking thing is, you know, now it's one of the CrossFit Games qualifiers. Mm-hmm. It's a massive event. You're moving it to Oklahoma, but now it's I love the name too, TFX.
Yeah.
The fittest experience. But when did you start that? Because we'll have different people on than maybe the other guys. When did that start?
Yeah. I went to the first CrossFit Games in 2007. And so it was this really cool bridge because in college, I joined the club triathlon team. Mm-hmm. And so we hosted a nonprofit, like a fundraiser triathlon. And I was like, I mean, I was literally like a buffalo riding a bike, swimming. Like, I mean, it's just like, I was not fitting into the triathlon scene. I just wanted to compete and be a part of it because it was
Clydesdale.
Clydesdale for sure. So I was this like triathlon team. I love to run, bike. I tried to swim, not, you know, it was just challenging. Right. And so when I went to the CrossFit Games in 2007, I was like, light bulb. I was like, I can host an event. And so that 2008, we created we created a 4 event series over 3 months. And so we had
2008. That is wild. That's wild. Because I don't think we actually dabbled in competitions probably until 2010.
I mean, that was the first time you guys went to the games too, right?
Yeah, 2008. Yeah.
But yeah.
That's cool, dude. Anyway, keep going.
So we thought, because we were all training to go back to the games, like we were totally bought into the sport. Yeah. And so I said, okay, let's create an event series that leads, and whoever wins all 4 events will get a ticket, a flight and a hotel to the games. We'll pay for that. And so the registration and we had the athletes show up. You know, we did one in Houston. We did one in Buda where the Dynamax Medicine Ball headquarters mm-hmm. was. We did one in my family's ranch out in Bertram, Texas. We did one in the gym. So we did all these different environments. But at that time, again, we didn't realize you could do 4 workouts in like a day. It was like, oh, we're going to do, they were one event at each location. And then that was your 4 combined workouts. We just didn't know that, hey, let's just do it in one week.
Right.
So that was the launch of it. And then it was this wild phenomenon because the next year, I think I was like, oh crap, we got to put on this. We need to put the event up. We opened up, we put the registration. I didn't have a location. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything planned. It was probably like 10 weeks out from the event. And literally in 2 to 3 days, it sold out.
Wow.
And I was like, oh crap. Like we got to put this together.
It's work. Yeah.
And so we just went to what we do. We just went to work and put it on and boom, it was huge success. And then I believe the third year we partnered with CrossFit for, I think it's 2009. We did the quarterfinals because they didn't have the open yet.
That's right.
And so, you know, Dave said, hey, y'all want to host this? And we're like, absolutely. And so we were a precursor to go to regionals, which we did it that year. And so it just kept rolling, you know, and we just never quit doing it.
Let me ask you this from a business perspective. Do the numbers make it worth it? And financially?
Yeah. So
I think that's the part. And people, I know here's what people assume. I know what people assume. Oh, they must be killing it. They're making a ton of money. And without understanding, like if we actually had to pay Jeremy for the amount of hours that he would work on that event, it might not break even alone. But how has it been financially in terms of the you know, going from where you were to where you are?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I would say up until 2019, I was never paid. I mean, there was a year somewhere in there, I lost about $50,000. And that was one of the most brutal, I questioned my whole reality in that sense. Like, because at this point I had kids, you lose $50,000. You're like,
your wife's
you're doing with your time.
Yeah. And so 2019, was kind of this pinnacle year, which again was the 1 year before the pandemic. And yeah. so it was another huge year. We had over 1,000 competitors. It was the biggest year we had. We wow. did the most revenue. And I made very little money that year. And when the pandemic hit, we paused the event. We didn't host the event. And then we into the pandemic, into 21, we're like, now this is something we need to do. We need to bring people back together. Mm-hmm. And so, but I said that if I'm going to do this and take the time away from my family and, you know, commit and do this type of work, it has to make sense. So right then and there, I cut the purse in half. We were paying out, you know, exorbitant amount. We changed venues. And so we found a venue that was about a third of the price, which was actually a better venue. It's just not in Austin. And then I said, we're not necessarily going to be paying that. We still have a great purse. We have $25,000. It's not $50,000. It's not $100,000, right. But it's, yep. And then I'm going to pay my staff for their time. And then we're going to cap out our expense at a certain level that, so we can guarantee we're not going to lose money and that we're going to make some money at the end of the day. And so in those years, like from 21 through 24, you know, I've made more in those 3 years from the event than I did over a decade. But then you fast forward to this in-person qualifier for the CrossFit Games. Mm-hmm. Totally different ballgame. You know, we got on with J-Mac and the CrossFit crew and looking at, is this a viable option for us? Is this going to fit in where we were? And it's like, I mean, it really came down to, it's like, we've been working for 17 years for this opportunity. Mm. And
you have to be the oldest.
Oh yeah. We're the first event. Now I can say CrossFit event. Cause we're yes. like,
yeah.
Outside the CrossFit Games. So yeah, we're the longest standing CrossFit. The other event that rivals us is the HOA, which Heart of America was out in, I want to say Illinois or Springfield. I know it just got bought by the, I believe the Monster Games had purchased it. But Jeremy, who runs an affiliate out there, they had the first team event because the Fitness Experience was just an individual event. And then we incorporated teams as we went along. HOA was the first team only competition. I want to say they were like a year, maybe 2 years after us, something like that. But yeah.
First of all, thank you. I know the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And because we've been there, lived it on a smaller scale, but it is the having institutions like this, the fittest competition, now TFX, helps keep this community together, gives credibility to what we're doing and to the competition world as well. Like, this is something that's legitimate, and it's lost on a lot of people. I think that, you know, they forget how many competitions are no longer with us. Big name competitions, you know, Granite Games pops is the first one that pops to mind, and it's a very, very intense, labor intensive project that begins early on, and then it involves a lot of administration and then a lot of physical labor throughout the process, and very little sleep from, you know, the few days before the competition to a few days after the competition. And so I want to, you know, on behalf of Diablo CrossFit, who's been around almost 20 years, thank you. And for the CrossFit community, thank you, because it's really freaking cool to have this. Mm-hmm. And I'm super glad to be able to support it and to try and drive more people to it and pay attention to it. If you're going to go to a competition and do a competition, you'll want to pick one that has been around the block a few fucking times and knows how to run an event, knows what 17 years of programming events, 17 years of programming workouts. You could program the games and comfortably, and I think everybody would be happy about it. I'm not suggesting that the way the games are programmed are not officially a problem. I support the games 100%. Dave Castro and Bosman do a great job. Let me just put that disclaimer out there right away. Put that soundbite in there. But you could.
And that's freaking awesome, dude. I think that's the coolest thing ever. That was one of the, like, when I was listening to the thing, I'm like, man, it just, I don't know. Cause all the shit we've been through up and down for over the years.
Especially for the last six, seven
years. Right. 6, 7 years. That's not the other thing. I got to speak to these affiliates on something. They're like, you know, I said, look, there's no complaints this weekend. And if you want complaints, you talk to someone like Jeremy, you talk to me, or you talk to like Z, has been around a long time, because the stuff we've been through every couple of years with CrossFit, like, it was always someone says, no, there's not. Believe me, I could list a number of different reasons why it was difficult to be a CrossFit affiliate. Mm-hmm. You know, from the divorce study to the threatened buyout of Anthos, to the loss of social media, to the focus, to the old people with blue jugs, you know, to the tweet, the sale, but like the whole product. Every couple years we had to deal with something, but that's made us resilient. Yeah. And competition's coming and going, and the format for the games and applying for the games, the open changing. That's all of that goes into that bag. And yet you still got the TFX competition coming, and it's big, dude. And it's in Oklahoma City. Someone actually came up to me, Amanda Hari, who has her own podcast. She's got far more people than I do. She does it vlog style. She's a reporter, so she knows really how to do this kind of stuff. But she came up to me a few weeks ago, and she goes, "You gonna go to TFX?" I go, "I don't know." She goes, "Well," she goes, "it's really like Oklahoma." She goes, "It's really easy to get there.
Yeah,
you're a great airport. It's direct flight. And it's really cheap to stay there.
Or the hotels and everything else.
Yeah.
Looked at it.
And she goes, it's a great city. And she also told me she's from there. So
no, it works out well. And so I want to also like point out, so Bryce Collier, who's the owner of Coda CrossFit.
Yeah, those guys are legit, by the way.
They have 5 affiliates that are associated with Coda, Colorado, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City area. Oh, wow. And so Bryce, he is actually, you know, he's been around the game, you know, 14, 15 years, games competitor, coaches a lot of competitors and whatnot. And he actually is now our official programmer. I know you're paying me homage on my programming. Bryce he coaches actively games athletes, teams athletes, RX intermediate scale. So he has a much broader perspective and has a lot of skill. So we converse and dial in what program will be. He's really the guy that puts it together, and he is in Oklahoma City. And so when we started to put together the invitational, we were looking around for venues that could really support what we wanted to do. And Oklahoma City, really presented a great opportunity with great communities within that region.
Yeah.
It's very affordable, you know, hotel rooms anywhere from, you know, $79, $80, $99 for a night. The International National Airport is there. And then they put a lot of money into revamping and building the city and destinations and all that. So it's a really phenomenal opportunity for people to come at an affordable cost and get to compete and still experience a great, you know, city in America that they might not have been to. So, you know, Chase Ingram's going to be there. He's going to be hosting an affiliate summit that morning at the event. And so that's going to be pretty cool. We're going to be bringing in some other athletes are going to be coming in. So we're very much like, we've really turned, now that we have our athletes in our community division, we're expecting over 400 competitors that will be competing. It depends on where that tops out at. And then from that, now we're really just building the whole experience of the competition for the spectators and for affiliates to gather and make this a value for them to come, that not only can they come and observe, watch these incredible athletes compete, watch their community compete, support their affiliate teams that are in our elite division, but also get education, meet people that they might not, you know, traditionally meet up with. We got great athletes coming from Mexico, from Canada. So it's an international, you know, event, which is pretty darn cool to be able to host that. So it's just super unique, like, you know, intertwining of it all. And we got great sponsors, you know, Rogue Equipment is partnering with us, who's always a supporter of the games and just done a phenomenal job. The Border Patrol's coming on, Yeti's on, the U.S. Marines, the Navy. We are about to announce our apparel partners. So just like a great mold. But literally back in December, when we got committed to this thing, we're like, we didn't know who or what or how. Like, it was – I mean, the amount of nights I might have lost from sleep from this event are greater than anything else. Just waking up, I'm like spinning. Like, is anybody gonna come? Do we have any partners? Like, wow, what are we doing? But it's like all now just boom, falling right into place.
It's like you said, when the one you put it out there, you didn't have a location. It sold out in two nights. You know, so it's not something you're not familiar with.
No.
You found out that you actually didn't find out that you were going to be able to qualify athletes for the games until a month ago.
Really?
No.
That was in December then, right?
December. We knew we would have two men that would qualify. Right. Yeah. That was, you know, the anchor that really, what would be a game changer is if we could qualify a team. If we had one.
Oh, got it.
That's the elite team is all done through the online portion. Mm.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah. So and then you're coupling it with, so you got, and you're going to be able to send, you're going to send two men, two women?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's via invitational, correct?
Yes. So, yeah, our North American West athletes have been invited to come, 36 men, 36 women. And when we got some powerhouses, especially on the female side. I mean, both sides, like, I'm just looking at them going, like, this is going to be a heck of a competition. We got some of the top, and it'll all depend on what happens with the inaffiliate online qualifier for individuals. Top 14 in the world will qualify. We have a couple ladies that have the potential, a couple males that have the potential. It's just a stacked event.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that does make it a lot of fun. The other stuff, the stuff that I really like, and this is something that I think, what you get and you know and understand. We were, Jamie and I were talking before the podcast about this. There's this new rapid growth of fitness festivals that is happening in the U.S. I don't know if it's globally, but, you know, it started with Diplo, the EDM producer who created a Diplo run. He did one here at the
San Francisco
at the San Francisco Giants, and it was hugely attended, right? So it's music and fitness, but there's this growth of fitness festivals, you know, Coachella style events where it's fitness focused, but it's like with music and everything tied in. And as I saw it, I came across my feed and I was looking and I'm like, well, that's just like what we did with the original games back in the day. And Jamie reminded, even down at Carson, when, you know, the first kind of events at Carson were very reminiscent of that kind of festival type environment. And then as CrossFit became more professional over the years, it became a little bit more clinical, right? At least so you got more people coming to the open, more people wanting to go get through the qualifiers to get to the games. And I think now there's because we have so many, you know, Diablo has, you know, 4%, 5% attrition every month, right? So we have a churn of some of our member base that comes in and they're newer to CrossFit. You know, I still have my core group of customers that, you know, we're going to be here, you know, hopefully forever. Thank you to those people. But we do get a lot of turnover in the other part of my customer base. And that's same with CrossFit in general. And those people aren't familiar with what CrossFit used to be like. And you remember we'd go to the rookie rumbles,
the grassroots,
you know, here, there's a guy, Brian at CrossFit Hercules would host these rookie rumbles once every 3 or 4 months, and they were awesome. And we would all go, we'd bring tents, we'd hang out, it was fun. All the first time athletes doing the events and their families would come. And there was something really special about bringing the community together. And I know this has been really important to you, and I heard you on that podcast and was just like, you know, yes. And Chase talked about it too. Chase went on about it as well. The idea of bringing the community together and creating events. And what I really freaking loved about your event, and it makes me want to go to your event, is the community feel and the focus on the affiliate owners, bringing the affiliate owners. You're giving them a private viewing area for the top elite athletes where it's up and in close.
That's cool.
So kind of elevating the affiliate owner, who are the backbone of this entire whole fucking thing, everyone. But you're elevating them and kind of making them feel significant, which I love. And then at the same time, bringing the whole community together. I'm rambling, but I'm going to let you, I want to let you talk about that too, the community divisions and what you're doing for the community at this event to kind of give them that feel of CrossFit and CrossFit competition.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that that's one thing that we've seen the drift of these semifinals events, or that we remember back to the regional days, and people don't really know what that is. And it's where the affiliate community is supporting their athletes, but they're coming together to this festival that they're getting to see people that they see maybe one time a year. And so it's like really encapsulating that experience for people to come and make a space for affiliate owners and their communities to be able to show up and be involved in the event from, you know, a spectating, but as a person that builds the community. And how do we set up that space for them to be supported like that? And so, you know, that is the vision, and it's really to get on why I'm even here to do the podcast is get the message out about, like, yeah, you want to come, because that's the cry in the community, is like, we need more community events. We need more to be, you know, supported and rally around. It's like, this is that, this is what we're doing for this region, for this area. And to come and experience it is to build the relationships and be a part of what it is that we're doing here as a collective whole. And this is really what rebuilds and strengthens the affiliate community.
Yes,
and really showcases, you know, who and what we are. And I was telling Chase, you might have heard, I was like, I rejoined my gym.
Yes. I love this story too. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, week four of doing CrossFit, man. I'm actually like, I'm listening to myself in this. I'm like, I've been doing, you know, my own workouts in the garage, or I'm going for a run. I'm like, I started training at the gym. I mean, I'm sore as my clients are. I'm coming in Tuesday morning, you know, rolling, getting my leg. We're 40 minutes in. I'm like, hey, I'm just starting to warm up through this. Just, you know, but I mean, I'm pushing hard, training for the Murph in five and a half weeks, and just like just getting, and we're in the cold plunge. I got a cold plunge sauna system at the house. I'm kind of crazy. I just start yelling, and I was like, it's the medicine. I just start yelling. And it's so funny. RX, right? As prescribed. And I would start yelling. It's like, it's the medicine. And my guys, and I got six guys that meet up for sauna cold plunge once a week. And they're like, Joe, Jeremy's off his rocker, bro. What did you do, man? And I just realizing my product is the medicine that CrossFit affiliates posted a thing. Are you bored? Go to the CrossFit gym. Are you unhappy? Go to the CrossFit. And I've read that. Like, yeah, because it is the medicine that our natural body will produce through the hormonal response to this stimulus that will transform people to being healthy, whole, happy people. And I'm experiencing it's like this rebirth of a 20-year cycle getting into the program and training. Where I'm training, my wife is a freaking beast. Like, she's top, you know, 100 every year in the 40 masters and all the stuff. She's always right up there competing and training. And so, I mean, I can't hold a candle to her in her training. And we were
same here, dude. I'm holding the purse as well, man.
And we're sitting there and I'm like, hey, I'm ready to go back all in on this, like meal prepping, like getting it all dialed. Yeah, we eat clean and we're really healthy, but I'm talking about like really dialing in and getting another fridge and prepping on Sunday and having the kids with us that we're going through and doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're setting up we have a garage gym and like getting we have a rig that's been sitting on the side of our carport. I was like, let's get the rig up and anchor it into our driveway and like start training. Let's just start like really training and getting like really freaking fit. And she's just like, now she's like she's like listening to me and like, is he serious? And the next day she's texting me like the strategy and plan for it. It's just like, it's like, I don't know. I'm really catching this like fifth wave of like how potent this medicine is and how powerful it can be for culture, communities, and all that stuff. So anyways, I just got really jacked up about it. But like, I mean, I can see it in myself. I mean, I can just feel myself, my body, my mindset just shifting and getting more dialed in. So it's like, it's a this product, what we have with this fitness program, is so powerful. And when you go through that, your own experience, for me, I just get that much more jacked about it.
Man, that's awesome. And that's, and that too, I think what I think some people think, you know, you do CrossFit and then they get tired of doing CrossFit, or they just, maybe they get
a little burnout,
or they get burnout. And what I've, you know, again, I've started preaching now is take a break. And it's okay to take a break. I listened to Kenny Kane talk about it down at the LA meeting. He's going to be 21 years affiliate owner at CrossFit Los Angeles. And he talked about it as well. The same thing. He goes, we'll get people. He says, we get members in and they come in, and pretty soon they're doing 6 and 7 days a week with really high intensity. And then they can't understand why they've got injuries, or they're not as excited to come to the gym anymore. And you take a break. And I've done that too, where I step away and start doing other things. Mm-hmm. And then I come back into class and it's like, oh, this is so rad. And it is, it's important. I think with anything that you do, that you take the time away, or you scale back, or you come in and go through them. I want to start telling members, I'm going to talk about it in our coaches meeting, just come in and go through the motions.
Yeah. It's almost like you're kind of periodizing your life.
Yeah.
You got some down times, you come back into it, you rebuild.
Jamie does our programming for Diablo, and he preaches this all the time. Where today's workout is a strength day, and there's no Metcon. Yeah, there's no Metcon, and it's frustrating to our members. And I love it. He's got strength day, and he has to add something, so he adds accessory work on top of it, because otherwise they'll be, what do you mean? I'm just lifting. I'm doing, you know, because it becomes so conditioned for that, you know, strength plus a Metcon, or if it's not strength plus a Metcon, then it's a really, really long Metcon with lots of different things.
Yeah.
And that takes a toll, especially with people with busy lives. If you know, like Jeremy, you got 3 kids, you're trying to run a competition at the same time, like all of that stuff can be overwhelming, and we don't realize the buildup of cortisol and how it wears down. We're not recovering. We're probably not sleeping well. All of those things, and then that's what's causing the, I might want to try something.
The burnout,
different. Yeah, the burnout,
yeah,
right. That's cool, dude. I love hearing that. And so, the competition's in like 30 or 50 30, days,
30 days,
30 days.
Yeah, about 5, 4.5 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And are there? So, do you have openings in the community competition? Right.
We do. Yeah. We do. Okay. We have the individual RX men and women. There's just a few slots. Those are almost sold out.
Okay.
And then we have intermediate teams of 3 men and women. And then we have a rookie division, which the language is a little bit, our rookie division is any athletes that have been doing CrossFit for, you know, a year to up to 3 years. And so, but you might still be quote unquote what we considered scaled, but you're able to still, you know, complete the exercise and workouts and things like that. So we have the workouts that are published for those divisions. Mm-hmm. So athletes can see them. They're on the gram, on the workouts or competition corner, for the individual or for the team divisions for that. And, we're, you know, the more the merrier when it comes to the competition, from the community side, which really just plays into, I'm just creating the atmosphere and all that. So we love to
see. Yeah, I can't push the rookie competition enough. And this is the rookie competition is if you're going to be, you do the first competition, go with someone that knows what the hell they're doing. And here's a great group of people to do it with that have been doing it since the beginning of CrossFit. And that, I think, is – I love that you're doing that. Because that's going to bring more people into the competitive field. We're seeing, more and more people are doing things like Hyrox and Spartan races and other things. And it's great because that's the ultimate representation of what we do here in the gym. And it gives people something to train for, which also, is great. Wait, people enjoy that.
Also like how you are doing it as a team for the intermediate and rookie divisions.
Yeah.
Kind of, it takes some of the pressure off of somebody that's, maybe on the edge of, do I do this? I don't know if I'm ready. Now somebody else to fall back on.
For sure. Cool. Yeah. A lot of our initial teams that signed up came over. So I didn't really go over the series of this because this is what we'll really start hammering from. The invitational is almost the last part of the fittest experience, competitions, because in August, we'll have what we have, our TFX Throwdowns. We host events nationwide in CrossFit affiliates, and we teach affiliates how to run competitions in their gym. We have three tiers, a 30-person event, a 70-person event, to a 150-person event. So you can choose how many, depending on the size of your gym, how many people can come and compete and what the lanes are and all that. And so we give the all the constructs to put together an event in your facility. Those earn teams of three spots in our championship. And then our online qualifier will be late September, cool. early October. And so we'll have those will be the online qualifying to get to our championship. Championships in January here in the Austin area. And so there's this whole process. And the invitational, if we have the invitational next year, I don't know what will happen with the structure. Hopefully we'll have another one. And so we really have a season. Our true focus is the amateur athlete. We build a stage process for athletes to build up. Two of our athletes that are competing in the elite division started out in our RX and intermediate divisions.
That's awesome.
So it's like Abby, actually, she actually qualified in Mayhem to go to the games. So she started out doing TFX. And really? I don't want to say it was her own.
Really? That's cool.
That's well, awesome.
She figured out in a lower level and just built up her skills over time. And she's already qualified. She's going to be a guest in we're getting it finalized, but she'll be at our event as a guest because she's already qualified for the games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's one of our early, you know, intermediate RX level competitors.
That's awesome to see this, that the growth and the progression in somebody that starts at a rookie rumble, essentially, or a very rookie level, and then to the big stage. That's awesome.
If you think you're good at CrossFit and you want to get, you know, and you want to compete against other people, you need to get that in-person experience dealing with judges.
Yep.
You know, handling the schedule,
timing, food, recovery, warm up, all those little details that you don't get when you're just running in your own home gym or home setup.
There are some people that are really freaking good at that, and they end up doing well and can overcome their inefficiencies in their fitness because they're just good in person. Mm-hmm. It's really I love that too. That's cool, man. And what else there's events too for the affiliate owners, just besides getting them down on the stage. I noticed there's an affiliate gathering.
Yeah, you said Chase is running that one.
Chase is going to run the affiliate gathering. That's really cool.
Yep.
And what else can affiliate owners expect when they come there?
Yeah, we're working on our stage right now. We'll have different speakers coming through that just in between, you know, the competition. We'll have different meet and greets with athletes, different partner sponsors that will be coming through. And then I haven't confirmed what community just open workouts that we'll have. But I know Bryce is planning to bring his rig up. So even if you're there and you want to get your workout in, we'll have a workout stage will be set up. So just different activities like that. But we also are working on some venues for gatherings offsite because we end the day. There's some really cool hangout spots that we're going to set up for to direct people to. So we can just be with fellow CrossFitters, hang out if that's something that you want to do. So all that information, now that everything from the competition side is being dialed in, we're now getting into the actual experience side of what we're going to be doing and all that.
That's awesome.
That's great, man. Well, listen, we're at the 1 hour mark. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for this competition. We're going to do whatever we can to help you get people there. And I'm going to put it out. I've got an email. I'm going to put it in the email this week. I'll send you a copy of it. But it goes out to about 5,000 people. It's just something I've been doing for every week for I don't know how many freaking years. And then, enough. Yeah, enough. But and ChatGPT does not write it. Just want everybody to know it's all original content, which they but ChatGPT one weekend
you used Grok one time.
I used Grok one time for the introductory editorial, and I disclosed it, and I did it, and when it produced it within seconds, I thought, oh shit, that's really good. I had a couple members tell me, they're like, wow, man, Craig, this one is a really good one.
They didn't read all the way to the bottom.
Oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, but I send that up, but I'm going to highlight you and this competition. We're going to try and maybe fill the rest of the gaps and see if we can't get some more spectators for you as well. I also love the package. You can buy a whole group of the that's a really cool offering too. So affiliate can just buy the whole group package and they get a discount. And then, you know, and then there's going to be an affiliate night there where you represent your, wear your colors for your affiliate on Friday night.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's got all of the right things to make it an awesome competition as a give back to the community. So I appreciate it a great deal, dude.
Right on, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all as well. And yeah, man, we're going to give it a roll. We're going to get out there and see what happens. So it's going to be great.
And it's going to be keep going for many years. So it's awesome.
Right on, guys. Well, thank y'all for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Till next time.
We off?